We're going to learn Daf Samach Beis and Masechtos Nedarim. However, we're going to start from the last, I guess, three lines from the bottom on Samach Aleph from the Beis, where the Gemara is going to quote a line from the Mishnah. The Mishnah before was talking about the idea that when you accept upon yourself a neder and you give yourself a time, the question is whether we mean up until that time or through the time period that we're talking about. The Gemara makes a distinction between Zman Kavua and Ein Zman Kavua. If it's not a Zman Kavua, then you definitely mean until that period. Since it doesn't have a Zman Kavua, we don't know exactly when that period is going to start or end. So therefore, we say until we get to that period. Now, specifically, the Mishnah at the end said if a person says Arakayetz until the summer, so what does that mean? That the Mishnah itself explains that it means until you put away the tools of the harvesting. So that's what we're going to quote over here, starting from the bottom of Samach Aleph from the Beis. The Gemara quotes the Mishnah and says, "Ad sheyavar hakayitz." If the person says until the summer is over, now obviously if he says until the summer, we just discussed, since that's not a set period, it's only until it starts, then your neder is over. But here the person specifically said, "Ad sheyavar hakayitz," until it goes away. So the definition of the summer going away is Ad sheyichbalu hamiktzoy. So it's a slightly different girsa than what the girsa in the Mishnah actually said. The Mishnah in the girsa is sheyichbalu with a kuf, and over here when the Gemara quotes it with a chaf. I believe it's the same idea. The idea is that they're putting away their tools, and the way they put away their tools is they used to fold them up and store them, and so on. Anyway, the point is that it's considered summertime until they put away the tools. Once they put away the tools, then it's not considered for our purposes, for Nedarim purposes, it's not considered the summer anymore. Now the last line on the bottom of Samach Aleph says, Tano, we learned in the Braisa, Ad sheyichbalu roiv hamiktzos. Okay, fine. It means that they put away most of their utensils. It doesn't have to be that every single last piece of material of equipment was put away. It's still considered the end of the summer. Basically the summer season is done. So it's done based on what are the actions of the people. Now on the top of Samach Beis Amud Aleph, the Gemara says, Tano hukfalu roiv hamiktzos. We learned in a braisa that once they, here again it goes back to the lashon of hukfulu with a kuf, the way the Mishnah says it, when they fold away their equipment, so then the halachas are muteres mishum gezel, the produce that is remaining in the field is no longer an iser gezel because it's hefker, because the summer is over. That means, and the farmers already put away their harvesting equipment, that means that they're not interested in what's left in the field. So there can't be stealing if the farmers themselves aren't interested in it. Upaturis menamaisrois, and for the same reason they're also patur menamaisa. That's just a regular halacha that anything that becomes hefker is no longer chayev in maaser. Okay, so now that we've established that that's the case, that the farmers have been, the way the Ran learns, been miyayish, they've given up on it, so then anybody else is allowed to take it. So the Gemara tells us a couple of stories based on that halacha. Rebbe, the Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Yehuda, Rebbe and Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Yehuda, Iklu Lahu Asra, they came to this town, Bizman Shehukfalu Roiv Hamiksois, at the time when most of the farmers had put away their equipment. Okay, which based on what we just said means that the fields are hefker. Rebbe Havika Ochel. So Rebbe went ahead and ate from the field. Why not? It's hefker. Rebbe Yossi bar Rebbe Yehuda lo yochel. But Rebbe Yossi Rebbe Yehuda still didn't eat, and we'll see why in a moment, even though it was that time of year. Oson Marhoin. So the owner, the master of the owner of the field came. Amar lohu amai loy achli rabbonon. So the farmer himself said to them, why wouldn't you be eating? Hukfalu roiv hamiktzoisu. It's already that time of year where most of the farmers put away their equipment, and so it should be, you know, there's no rights to the field. The farmer doesn't have a hold on the field, so you're allowed to eat. So essentially he was really acknowledging the fact that they were allowed to eat. Va'afal pikein loy ochel Rabbi Yossi v'Rabbi Yehuda. But even so, and even after the farmer said this, not only did he, this was the time period, but it was even after the farmer already told him he can go ahead and eat it, he still didn't eat from the produce of the field. Kasovar mishum snius milsa hu deka amar hadein gavar. He thought it was because of the uncomfortable idea is why the guy said it. Meaning, when a guy comes over to you and says, oh yeah, you could totally eat. So it could be that there was a little bit of a sarcasm here. That really the farmer really did want to maintain his produce, and he didn't want people going onto his field. However, when he saw who was taking, he saw that it was Rebbe and Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe Yehuda, he felt uncomfortable. This is the way the Ran learns. He felt uncomfortable telling them that they weren't really allowed to take. So he said to them, in his abashed way, he said, you can go ahead and take it. So it wasn't, Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe Yehuda felt that even though he was saying it, he didn't mean it. And therefore, he still was retaining his right to it. If it was anybody else, this is, again, I'm saying the way the Ran is learning. The simple reading is that maybe he just said it because he was afraid to say otherwise. But the Ran adds in this idea that it was because he saw who it was. It was these Rabbonin, and he was afraid to say, oh, you guys are making a heter for yourselves, therefore you're eating it, but it's not really mutter. So he was afraid to say that. So therefore he said, oh, yeah, of course, you guys, it's mutter. You know, you guys paskin that it's mutter, so it's mutter. And again, Rabbi Yossi took that with a little bit of sarcasm. That maybe he was just saying that because of who he was talking to, but he didn't really mean it, and therefore the farmer really meant to hold on to it. And if he meant to hold on to it, then it's not hefker. It's only hefker because you're saying as a general matter, this is when the summer season is over and farmers don't care. But if they do care, then technically it's not hefker. That's the way. So again, this seemed to be a machlekes between Rebbe and Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe Yehuda, whether, so to speak, it was automatic or it was an actual, it really depended on what the farmer himself felt. So this seems to be a machlekes. However,
you're saying deeper, actually.
Gemara continues with another story. Rebbe Chama bar Rebbe Chanino, Iklalahu Asro. Again, he also came to a certain city, Bizman Shahukfalu Roy Vamiksois, at a time where most of the equipment was put away. Habakaochu. So he was eating. Again, because the halacha is, as we just said, it's mutter. Yoiv Lashame, and he gave it to Hashamish, who was working with him, was helping him. Loyochu. He didn't eat it. Amar Le Echol. So the Rabbi Chama said to him, go ahead and eat it. Kach Amar Li Rabbi Yishma B'Rabbi Yosi. Mishum Aviv, Rabbi Yishmael, my Rabbi taught me, Hukfalu Roy Vamakzois, Mutaris Mishum Gezel, Baturis Minamaiser. He said, that's the halacha. So again, even though you're worried about it, so the Gemara is being very clear over here. Even though it's only Roiv, and there might be somebody out there who's not happy with the situation, however, the halacha is, and that's the bottom line, that once we get to that period of time, it is Hefker, and there's no Isser Gezel, it's Mamish considered Hefker. You have to go with the Roiv. Again, it's not saying that the farmer's not allowed to take it, but the farmer has no claim against you that it is usher. Now the Gemara takes us to one more extreme famous story. Rabbi Tarfin Ashkechea Hu Gavra Bizman Shahukflu Amiksois de Ka'ochol. So Rabbi Tarfin, again, the Gemara is jumping right into the story, was also in this situation where he was eating from Peiros on the side of the road after most of the equipment was put away. So again, it was that time period where the halacha would be that it was mutter. But the farmer came, so it says Ashkeche, he found him. the owner of the field found that Rabbi Tarfin was eating. Achte Bishaka. So the farmer trapped Rav Tarfin, he put him into a sack. He captured him, and because the farmer, as we're going to see in a moment, assumed that Rav Tarfin was stealing, and he put him into the sack. The shaklei, and he took him v'amtari l'mishtei b'nehara, and he was carrying him to throw him into the river. Now, obviously, you know what that means. That if he was going to throw him into the river in a closed sack, that's not going to be good news for Rabbi Yisrael. No, excuse me, for Rabbi Tarfin. So he was carrying to the river. Omar, either with the Ger Soloi or without the Ger Soloi, right? So Omar, you take out the word loy, the Bach takes out the word loy. Omar, oi loy le Tarfin shezeh hargoy. Says, woe is to Rabbi Tarfin. He didn't say Rabbi Tarfin, he said to Tarfin, that this person is going to kill him. That's all he said. He said woe is to Tarfin. Obviously identifying himself who he was. Shomahu Gavro, but the person who was carrying him heard him say this. Shavke, he left him Varak and he ran away. Okay, in other words, he realized who he was carrying. He didn't realize that it was Rabbi Tarfin, but once Rabbi Tarfin said that he was Rabbi Tarfin, he realized that this was not somebody who he should kill, and he ran away and he left Rabbi Tarfin to live. Okay, so that's the beginning of the story. Now the Gemara is going to go through the story and explain it. Amar Rabbi Abba Avua Mishum Rabbi Chananya ben Gamliel. So he says the name of Rabbi Chananya ben Gamliel, Kol Yomov Shal Oisei Tzadik, the entire life, the rest of the life of Rabbi Tarfin, Hoyim Etztar Al Dovar Zeh. This bothered him. Omar Oili Shinishtamashti Bikisra Shal Torah. Says, woe is to me because I used my covet HaTorah, I used my prestige as someone who learns Torah in order to save my life. So this bothered him, and the Gemara itself is going to explain what exactly bothered him about this. But the simple reading at this point in the Gemara is that you're not supposed to use the Torah, the honor of the Torah, to protect you, to save your life. Or at least that's the simple reading of this. And I've always bothered Rabbi Tarfon that's how he got saved. Okay, so let's explain. This is still part of the explanation of what the problem was. And anybody who uses the crown of the Torah, ne'akar min ha'olam, gets uprooted from the world. Ben Yayada explains, uprooted means that it happens all of a sudden. All of a sudden, the person, something's going to happen, and he's going to be taken from this world. Now, where do we see this? Kal v'chomer, we get a kal v'chomer. Uma bal shetzar. Bal shetzar shenishtamish b'kli kodesh shenasu klichol. Now, Bal shetzar, when he became king, on the first day that he became king, he made a big party, and in order to celebrate his party, he took out the kelim that Nebuchadnezzar had captured from the Beis HaMikdash, and he put them out, and he used them. And as a result, besides other things, that Balshetzer was no big tzaddik, but one of the main things is that he used the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, he ended up getting killed. Shenamar, as the pasuk says, ubo ba priest of the chilu. First, the Gemara has to prove. Oh, one second. So it's a kli kodesh shenas u kli chol, that these kelim of the Beis HaMikdash were no longer held in their highest level of the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, because once they were taken out of the Beis HaMikdash and they were violated, they already became chulin like anything else. Now this is not so pashut, but let's just take this pashut shot that like anything else, any other thing in the Beis HaMikdash, that once you do meila, it goes to chulin. So really, technically, it's chulin. Shenemar ubo ba pritzim v'chilulua, that the pritzim, those people who broke down the walls and they desecrated it. And we learn, kivan shepartzum, once they desecrated the walls, meaning the walls of the Beis HaMikdash, nasu chol. The kelim became chol. They became regular. They became mundane. They're not hektish anymore. And still, so this is what he was using. He was using kelim that were technically originally from the Beis HaMikdash, but now the halacha was that they were really chulin. And even so, ne'akar min ha'olam, Bal Shetzer got taken from this world. D'chsiv, because it says in the pasuk, ba balalia kotil Bal Shetzer. On that night, Bal Shetzer was killed. So this is the famous story in Daniel, where there was writing on the wall, and Bal Shetzer didn't understand what the writing was, and nobody could explain it to him. And then finally, he called in Daniel, and Daniel explained it to him that it meant that because of his behavior, he was going to be killed and he's going to lose his malchus, and the Prasimodai are going to come and capture his kingdom. In any event, and the story goes, of course, he was so upset about this, he told his guards not to let anybody into the palace. And then Bal Shetzer went for a walk, and when he tried to come back into the palace, the guard said, "We can't let anybody in," and they killed him. So he ended up getting killed by his own guards. But the point is that he was killed. So this is talking about now. Here, Bal Shetzer didn't even do something that was the worst possible thing to do. He didn't even do something so terrible for a technical reason. Yeah, what he did was inappropriate, but for a technical reason, it wasn't even mamish kachim, and still nekam in oilam. So we say from there, amishamish bekisr shal teirah shu chayvik hayom lo oilam. Now, if somebody uses the kisr shal teirah, which is the real thing, which stays forever, and it's really in its glory, the teirah al achas kama v'kama. So certainly that type of person who uses the kesser shel Torah to get around, that he is going to be nekar. So therefore, that's why it bothered Rav Tarfon that he was using the kesser shel Torah, because you're not supposed to use the kesser shel Torah for your own personal gain, for your own personal need. Now the Gemara says, Rav Tarfon kibedika achol the hukfulu raiva mitzoyis have. But let's go back and look at the story. Rav Tarfon was eating at a time where already the farmers had put away their equipment. Amait Sareh Ahu Gavro. So why did this farmer, why did he bother him so much? Because the Maisa, I mean, and it was pretty extreme, I mean, he was going to kill him. So why did it bother him so much if it was already the end of the season? It's a very interesting story. Mishum dahu have a ganvile invi kulishasa. Because really the reality was that throughout this entire season, somebody was coming and stealing his grapes the entire year. V'kivin da'ashkechele Rav Tarfon, but now that he came and he caught Rav Tarfon red-handed, sovar hainu d'ganvon, he figured, oh, this is the guy who's been stealing from me all year. Like, he didn't realize that Rav Tarfon was, you know, just showing up now for the first time. He assumed, oh, now I caught him. Set the trap and he caught him, so he figured this is the guy who's been stealing from him all year. So therefore, this
trap,
I don't know if it was necessarily a trap. So the Gemara says, "Ihachi amai tzir nafshei." So if so, why was Rav Tarfon so upset? Lamaisa, this guy was literally going to kill him. He was literally going to kill him. So why? What bothered Rav Tarfon so much that he was able to save his life? So the Gemara is a fascinating teretz. Mishum de Rav Tarfon usher godol havei. Rav Tarfon was very wealthy. V'havelei lefaisoi bedomim. And he should have paid him off. He should have bribed him with money. In other words, there was another alternative way for him to save his life. Of course, Rav Tarfon was allowed to do whatever he needed to do to save his life. The problem was that he didn't need this method to save his life. He didn't need to use the Keser Shel Torah to save his life. He could have used financial wherewithal to save his life. Okay, so therefore, that's what bothered Rav Tarfon. Rav Tarfon was that he used it unnecessarily. Avada, he was allowed to do something, but this method was unnecessary under the circumstances, so therefore, that's what bothered him. Now, the interesting thing that I saw on the side is that when it says that he should have been mefaisei bedomim, it's talking about not just to pay him for the $3 for what he stole. The expectation was, in the Gemara's expectation, this is a big kaddish, but the Gemara's expectation was that Tarfon should have paid him for the entire year's worth of stolen grapes.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah, to me that was a chiddush. That, in other words, yes, he was rich, and that's why the Gemara says he was wealthy, he could afford it. So what are we talking about? It wasn't the $5 that was the issue. Let's say it was $500. So he should have paid the $500 to save his life. That would have been, and that's what bothered Rav Tarfon, because he had another method to save his life. Okay, so now that we've established that this is the Keser Shel Torah, the Gemara goes and explains this a little bit further. That's the end part of the story, and now we're going to explain the concept. Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, La'ava es Hashem aleikecha, l'shmoya b'koiloi u'ledov koi boi. So a person should love Hashem, meaning he should do avodah for the sake of loving Hashem, to listen to what Hashem has to say, and in that way he will come close to Hashem. What does that mean? Shelo yomer odom ekra sheikruni chacham. Person shouldn't say, I will learn so that people will call me a chacham. I'll have knowledge so that people will call me a chacham. Eshna, or I will teach sheyakrieni Rebbe, so that people will call me Rebbe. Eshnoin, or I will learn it over. Eshnan means I will have Talmidim she'eya zaken v'eshan v'yeshiva, and they will, so that they'll place me in the yeshiva. And the Mefarshim say that means that he wants to become, his goal in life is to become a Rosh Yeshiva. In other words, that's why I'm learning. I'm learning so that I become a Rosh Yeshiva. That's not a mahalach. Ella, so what the pasuk is coming to tell us rather is lomad me'ava. You should learn because you love to learn, because Hashem wants you to learn, and this is going to help you get close to Hashem. The seifa kavod lovoi, and eventually the kavod will come if you deserve it, because you're learning. In other words, the kavod should not be the goal. If the kavod is the goal, it's not going to happen. If the goal is to learn, then the kavod can happen. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, kashrim al etzbay secha. So this saying about the Torah, that should be on your fingertips and that should be in your heart. This is actually referring to the fact that when a person learns Torah, they should learn it in a way that it's right at their fingertips. This is the Gemara Darshan says in other places that you should have it around your fingertips to be able to answer questions about the Torah. That's what your purpose of learning it is for, so that you should know it. But then the pasuk continues, this lemaisa is going to create that it'll be very pleasant for the people around you. And then we see that it's going to be something that you'll be able to grab onto, and it'll be straight. it'll be something that will be appreciated. In other words, this is the way the Gemara is hinting to the fact that eventually there will be a kavod will come. If you're able to learn it to know it, and people are going to appreciate it, then people will turn around and in return are going to give you the kavod. But again, this is a procession. This is not the goal. It's a process of one after the other, then that's naturally what is going to happen. If a person learns Lishma, naturally he will be respected for it. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadok Omer, he says like this, Asei Dvarim L'Shem Ha'alam. You should do things for L'Payala means the one who created them, referring to Hashem. You should do it for Hashem. The Dabar Behem L'Shmom, and you should talk about them L'Shmom for the sake of Hashem, L'Shem Shemayim. Al Tasam Atoro L'Hiskadavom, but we also learn that a person should not make them the crown itself. That you shouldn't learn, well, same idea, you shouldn't learn for the sake of making them the crown. Al Tasam Kardom L'Hiyos Oider Boy. So this is interesting. A person should not make it. A kardom is like a hoe or a pitchfork or something like it's a pick to plow your field. You shouldn't make it like a plow to plow your field. So the Rosh learns this. This is not. It doesn't matter what the utensil is. I mean, it happens to be that that's what the pasuk is referring to—a specific utensil. But that's not really the point. The point is, just like a plow is something that you use to make your parnasa, so too the way the Rosh learns, the pasuk is telling us you should not be using the Torah as your method of making parnasa. You shouldn't be learning for this as if your goal of learning is to make a parnasa. Your goal for learning has to be to learn. Now, grada. If you want to sit and learn, you have to be able to support yourself somehow. Okay, so you're allowed to, we're not getting into those halachas, you're allowed to take money to support yourself. But the point is, you should not be using Torah as your method of parnasa. That's not the proper approach. The Kal Vachomer. And the Gemara says, in fact, if a person misuses the Torah for the wrong reasons, meaning they're using it as a parnaso, they're using it as something for their own means, so he says, you have a kavachamer. So just like Baal Shetzer. And we find Baal Shetzer that he was using the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, which weren't even on the level of Kedusha, Nekar, Mena Olam, he was uprooted. The same thing, somebody who uses the Keser of Torah, as we explained before, which is Chai B'Kayim Lo'olam, that Keser of Torah is in it's still in its ultimate glory. If you're using the Keser Shel Torah, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's, so then you're not, that's not the proper behavior, and that's going to end up with a bad result. Okay, so we see that the Gemara over here is explaining how should a person use Torah? A person should use Torah for the sake of the Torah itself, not for something else. Not for your own financial gain or for your own covet gain. Whatever it is, that's not the proper way to be using the Torah. Now, on the one hand, we just learned very clearly in the Gemara that a person should not take something and use something from the Torah for his own benefit. However, there is a flip side to this, to put things, there's always a balance. So the Gemara continues. Amar Rav, Shari Leila Inishla, Duye Nafshe, Ba'asa de lo Yodale. A person is allowed to identify himself, to let it be known who he is, in a city that they don't know him. The Chsiv, as the Pasuk says, Vavdecha Yore es Hashem min Urov. And he said, your servant, it has been serving Hashem even from his childhood. This is talking about when he went to meet Elio Anavi, and he was, right? Avadja. Okay, so went to see Elio, and he wanted, so. What? Yeah, exactly. So he wanted to, so he was afraid because there was a lot of, let's say, misbehavior going on in that generation. So he was afraid that he would not be accepted by Elio Anovi. So he identified himself, I'm one of the good guys. I'm somebody who's been learning, who's been studying and serving Hashem properly even from my childhood. So we see from this pasuk very clearly that it is permissible to identify yourself and I guess get the benefit of the fact that you're somebody who is sitting and learning. So that contradicts Elakasha the Rav Tarfin. So that's we see this contradiction of Rav Tarfin, because Rav Tarfin, exactly, he needed to identify himself. That's exactly what Rav Tarfin did. He essentially identified himself in order to be able to save himself. And by the way, Avadja and Elio was exactly the same situation. If you look at the rest of the context of that pasuk, he was also afraid that it was going to get killed because he was somebody who would be considered a bad person. So Rav Tarfin also should have been able to use what was wrong with Rav Tarfin saving himself by saying identifying who he was. The Gemara answer is similar to what we said before. So again, as we said before, the issue was not that he identified himself, and he was allowed. If that would have been the only method, you're right, he could have used that method. However, he had other methods, such as monetary, by paying off, by bribing, or he was wealthy. So that was the issue. The issue was that he used it when it wasn't necessary. So then, that was the problem with Rav Tarfin. Or at least what Rav Tarfin, in Rav Tarfin's mind, what Rav Tarfin thought was the problem. Rava, so again, continuing on this, on the same vein, Rava Rami, I'll ask you a contradiction. On the one hand, it says you're allowed to identify himself. But it also says, Ya'alucha zar viloi picha. But it says that somebody else should praise you and not your own mouth. When you should not be the one telling people how great you are. If other people want to say you're great, that's fine. But you should not be identifying yourself, oh, by the way, I'm rabbi this, and that's not, that, let someone else, somebody else wants to identify you, that's fine. But you should not identify yourself. So we have a contradiction. Are you allowed to identify yourself or not? The Gemara answers, it actually depends on whether they know who you are or not. If you're in a situation where they don't know who you are, and obviously it's necessary for them to know who you are, then you could identify yourself. But if they know who you are, then you shouldn't be telling anybody, pushing your own agenda, pushing your own greatness on people who actually know you. Okay. Well, rule is, it depends on, if they already know you, there's no reason for you to tell everybody how great you are. The Gemara continues, Amar Rava says, Shari leila tsurba mirabonon, lemeimar tsurba mirabonon ano. A budding tamachachem, a tsurba mirabonon is a young tamachachem, is able to say, I am a tamachachem. Shari li tigra veresha, you should deal with my merchandise first. Now this is actually talking about when he comes to Beis Din, and if he comes to Beis Din and he has a Din Torah, it is permissible for a Talmid Chacham to put a Talmid Chacham's Din Torah first, so that he can go finish his Din Torah quickly, so that he can go back to learn. The Chassid, as the Pasuk says, Ubnei David Kayhanim Hayu. The kingdom of the Bnei David were Kayhanim. Now they weren't really Kayhanim, they were from Malchus Beis David. But we darshan the following. Why they identify themselves as Kayhanim? Ma Kayin Noitel Baroish, just like a Kayin gets to take first. So they were Tamid Chachamim, Bnei David were Tamid Chachamim, so they were able to go first. Okay, so that's the idea. The idea is that they go first, not that they're actually Koyanim. Ukoyin minolon, how do we know that a Koyin always goes first? Because the Pasuk says, V'kidashtoi, you should make him holy, ki es lechem Hashem alekechu hu makir, because he brings the korbanos for you. Okay, so that's the Pasuk, V'kidashtoi. Everybody quotes this Pasuk, you make a Koyin Kaddish. Now, what does this mean? V'tonet vei Rabbi Yishmol, V'kidashtoi l'chol dovesh v'kidusha. That means that you put a Koyin first when it comes to actions and things that are relevant for Kedusha. Now let's go to Samach Beis Amud Beis on the top of the Amud. What types of Kedusha are we talking about that a Kohen goes first? Liftoyach Rishoin, that he gets the first Aliyah by Kriyas HaTorah. We know, of course, that Halacha, the Gemara in Tainus, tells us that you have to, that the Kohen always goes, you give the Kohen first. Ulevarach Rishoin, he gets the Bracha by benching, he goes first. The Lito Mana Yafa Rishoin, and he also gets to take the first portion. Now the way the Ran says is very interesting, that if there is a shutfis between a Kohen and a Yisrael, and they're dividing up the assets, the Kohen gets to pick. Now obviously he's not taking anything more valuable because there's a shutfis. They're entitled to their fair share. But the Kohen gets to pick first what he takes first. Now the interesting that the Ran says this It doesn't seem to be necessarily in the context of Kedusha. At least not from the words of the Ran. You don't see that this is necessarily in the context of Kedusha. However, right, that, again, just saying what the Ran is saying. But this is, as opposed to, for example, the Mefarish and Rashi is talking about by the Lechem Aponim that the Kohen gets to take first, and he relates it more to a Dovah Shebe Kedusha that the Kohen takes first. Anyway, the point is that we see just like by a Kohen is able, when it's relevant, the Kohen is able to go first. He goes ahead of everybody else. So too, the Gemara is saying a very big chiddush when it comes to Dinei Torah, if there's a Din Torah that involves the Talmud Chacham, we're allowed to push the Talmud Chacham to cut the line and go ahead of everybody else. So that is Din Torah should go first. And as the Mefarshim explained, the point is so that we can finish this Din Torah and go back to learn. And that if the fact that we're comparing the Talmud Chacham to a Talmud Chacham also is true to a Kohen, is also true. For example, if you have a minion that does not have a Kohen, so you're supposed to give the Talmud Chacham the first Aliyah. Then it goes in the order of prestige. It doesn't just go, now that there's no Kohen, we can do it randomly. Now again, I would never know this, because as a Kohen, if I'm not there, I don't know what happens when I'm not there. But
you're both.
Omar Rava. Shari Leila Turban Rabban Lameimar Loya Hivna a cargo. So once we're talking about what a Talmud Chacham is able to say, so we're able to say he goes first. Now we're also able to say that I'm not paying the head tax. A cargo was a tax that they used to collect for each person. The chsiv minda volu vaholach loishalat lemirma alehen, that their portions ran out. We'll see the Gemara Zelf is going to darshan this, but I'm just translating. And they didn't have rules over them to put the tax upon them. It happens to be a very interesting context. Again, for those people learning Navi, you would have learned this recently also when they were rebuilding the second base of Migdash. Rebuilding the second base of Migdash, they put a tax on everybody in order to collect money to be able to build the second base of Migdash. So it says, "Loi shalat lemir ma'aleh," and they were not able to put this tax on them. And this is talking about the Talmid Chacham, the special people that were exempt from the tax. So the Gemara now explains what this is talking about. V'amar Rav Yehuda, minda zumenas hamelech. Minda is referring to the special portion that was going to go to the king. The king's direct tax and saying, you gotta pay me. Balu zu kesef gulgulasa. The balu that was worn out, or that was the second layer, was the certain amount of money that they used to put on each person's head. Now that, by the way, was a arbitrary number. The first one was a set portion. Everybody has to pay $10. The second one was the tax collector gets to collect. Oh, you pay five, you pay one, you pay ten. The tax collector, that was gugeloisoi. V'holach zu arnoina. Arnoina, the way the Ran in the first pshat learns, very interesting. Arnoina actually means a su'uda. So what used to happen was very common in the times of the kings. If the king would ever travel and he would come to a city, it was expected and required that the city would make a su'uda for the king. They would make a party there. That king comes to town, you make a big ball and you make a party. So that was like a tax because it was expected and required by the people of the city. So the point is that if you're a Talmud Chacham, you're able to say that I do not need to contribute because as my status of a Talmud Chacham, there's no expectation that I contribute to these things. The Ran does bring a second chat in Arnona that talks about a shutfis, and once again, this is it's the same idea. That you don't have to pay the tax to be mitzdarif with taxes. Okay, in any event, the Talmud Chacham doesn't have to pay that. V'amar Rava, Shari Leila Turban Merabbanan LeMeimar Avda Denura Ana. This is Rava's taking this one step further. He's saying, if I want to get out of the taxes, again, assuming that he is a Talmud Chacham, if the guy's just not accepting the fact that I'm a Talmud Chacham so I don't have to pay, you're able to say, I work for the guy who lights the fires. Now, the guy who lights the fires was a very prestigious job, but it belonged to, for lack of a better term, the church. It was part of Avodah Zarah. They used to light these fires for the sake of the Avodah Zarah. So the Turban Rabban is able to say, I work for that guy. So once you work for that guy, you work for, again, for lack of a better term, I work for the priest. So then you don't have to pay taxes. Now, that's what you're saying to get out of it. So he's able to say, let me just read the sentence correctly. He's able to say, I work for the fire lighter, and therefore I'm not paying taxes. My taimo. Now the Gemara itself asks, why would this be mutter? La bruche ari mine ka'oma. Because he's simply suing it so that he doesn't have to pay the taxes. Now remember, the taxes, many taxes were very arbitrary, where they would just go over to people and say, okay, I'm insisting that you pay the taxes and I'm not letting you off. So since it was arbitrary, you didn't really have to pay it if there was a way out of it. So therefore, you were able to use this, so you were saving yourself from a loss. To save yourself from a loss is going to be mutter. Okay? So, but the point that the Gemara and the Ran explains is that the only reason this was mutter is because you're not saying that you really did avodah zarah. Your libay is l'shamayim, and that's why it's limited to a Talmid Chacham. To a Talmid Chacham who understands that he's just saying this literally just to get away with taxes, but of course he is not in any way affiliating himself or giving a stamp of approval for avodah zarah, because that would be usur. If in any way you feel like you're connected to the avodah zarah, then it's usur. But if you're saying it just to get rid of the tax collector, and that's your only purpose, and everybody knows, anybody who knows you knows that that's why you're doing it, then it's not a chilul Hashem, and it's mutter, because you're just getting out of a payment that you don't really have to make. Now the Gemara takes it one step further. Ravashi havaleahu abo. Ravashi had a forest. The word abo means a forest. Zavne lebe nura. So once again, once we're talking about this, the guy, the avodah zarah, who used to light the fires, so he sold his wood to the person who lit the fires. Samalei Ravina le Ravashi. So Ravina itself already asked Ravashi, ha'ikalif na'iv le'sitei michshol, how could you sell your wood to the avodah zarah? You're selling your wood to the avodah zarah, and they're going to use it in the house of avodah zarah, and you're setting them up. You're setting it up for avodah zarah. Obviously, you're not doing the avodah zarah, but you're lifnayiver, you're making it possible for them to serve avodah zarah. So Amar Leis, Rav Ashi says a very big chiddush. Says roiv eitzim lahasaka nitnu. Most wood is being used just for fire. Everybody needs firewood. So I'm selling it as firewood. The fact that they go ahead and they take some of my firewood and then they decide later to use this piece of wood for their avodah zarah or whatever they're going to do with it, that's not my problem. I'm not selling it to them to be used on their mizbeach, on their altar. I'm selling it to them as firewood. They have to light their fireplaces. They're entitled to light a fire to keep warm, which has nothing to do with avodah zarah. So then, that's why it's mutter. So it comes out a very big chiddush according to this Gemara. It comes out that if I'm selling it for a natural purpose, and it has to be roiv, it has to be, that's what the expectation is. The expectation is they're going to be using it for a very neutral purpose, it's going to be mutter, even if ultimately they end up using some of it, or possibly, I don't know this, obviously if I know it for a fact, they say, oh, I'm buying this for the avodah zarah, then it would be usur. I'm selling it for them to use in a neutral, permissible way. So even if it happens to be that it turns out, and I know that it's possible, but that's not my problem, because that's not why I'm selling it to them, so then it is going to be mutter. In any event, that's the end of that sugyo. So you see that the Rabbanon, but this has nothing to do with the Rabbanon. This last point was just that once we talked about avodah zarah, so we talk about what your relationship with the avodah zarah could be. Your business dealings with the avodah zarah are allowed to, you know, what you could deal with. In any event, but we see there are certain things that on the one hand, the Talmid Chacham is not allowed to use the Keser Shel Torah, the crown of the Torah. On the other hand, there are certain circumstances when it would be mutter. If he needs it, he could use it, as long as, if people know who you are, don't discuss it yourself. But you could use it to get out of taxes, you could use it to go first so that you can do your Talmid Chacham business. That takes us to the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah is back into the topic of what we've been discussing. So it's continuation of the discussions that we've had till now, that when you make a nether for a set time or to a time, that it means the Mishnah is before, in this whole parak is discussing until when is the nether chal. So the Mishnah now gives a few more examples of this concept. If a person makes a nether and he says ad hakotzir, until the harvesting time, or ad sheyaskel ha'am liktzar, or at the time when people start harvesting. So what does that mean? Which period of time are we talking about? Kitzir chitin. When a person just says harvesting, what are we talking about harvesting? There's a lot of things. Every single fruit and vegetable needs to be harvested in one way. So when I say the word harvest, harvest is referring to wheat and not barley, which is, I believe, an earlier period of time. So it means wheat. Right. Oh, that's a good point. Right. But again, what do people, when they speak, when I say harvest, what do I mean? So the Mishnah is saying, as a general rule, it means chitin. However, at the same time, the Mishnah throws in, hakolufi mokim nidroi. But everything goes according to the place that you are. And the Ran already points out that if in your city, let's say all they grow in your local town is barley, so when I say I'm going to harvest, obviously I'm going to harvest barley, because that's all we do for a living. So, but he's saying as a general rule, when people, let's say not on the farm, say harvest, they're referring to wheat. But unless you're in a special place. But on that note, the Mishnah itself explains that if it goes by the place that you are, imhaya bahar bahar. So obviously in different areas, they harvest in different times. So if you're up in the mountains, you harvest later. Imhaya babika babika. And if I'm down in the valley, it's later. It's earlier rather. The bika, generally speaking, is warmer, so the wheat grows faster, so they end up harvesting earlier. As the Ran points out, that if I made the nether when I was in the mountain, so I meant mountain time. So even if I end up moving to the Bikka, I still, when I made my nether, I meant mountain time, and I'm still contingent on mountain time. And I still have to wait until they harvest up in the mountain, even if I'm physically right now located lower. It's not where I'm located, it's where I made the nether, and once the nether becomes chal, that becomes the timing of the nether. The Mishnah then continues with another example. Ad ha-gashamin. If a person says until the rainy season, ad shiyehe gashamin, or until it starts rain, and until again, it'll be raining. So we explain what do those words mean. Ad shetered revia shnia, until the second rainfall comes down. Now this is the Tanna Kamma Shita, so I'm going to explain first of all what we're talking about. As you know, there are three revias of the Gemara. Actually, on Samach Gimel is going to explain a little bit more in depth. There are three time periods where it is natural for it to start raining. There's, and again, I don't want to give precise numbers because we'll see on Samach Gimel what those times are. But the point is that what the average person means the second rain, because the first rain is very early. The last rain is very late, and the second one is, you know, is just right. So when a person says rain, he means the second rainfall. However, on that point itself, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Ad Sheyagia Zmana Shel Revia, he says it doesn't actually have to rain. We don't need a second rainfall, but rather just that time period, whatever that time designated, again, we'll learn on Samach Gimel. So whatever that time period is, that's the time that your nether is chal until that moment. Then the Mishnah gives one more example. Ad sheyifsiku hagashamim. If a person says until it stops raining, or he says ad she, sorry, the Gemara says, rather the Mishnah says ad sheyitze nisin kuloi divrei meir. When a person says it's going to stop raining, when is it going to stop raining? When is it expected? Because that's specifically what he said. My nether is until it stops raining. The season for stopping to rain is till the end of Nisan, the whole month of Nisan. Divrei meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer ad sheyavar haPesach. He says no, it's only until after Pesach. It's not the entire month of Nisan. It's only till after Pesach. That's the expectation when the nether would be chal. Okay, let's just do a few more lines here to get towards the bottom of the Amid. Tanya, we learned in a Braisa. The Gemara says, Hanoider ad hakayitz begalil. If a person says, he made the nether, he says, until summertime, which is in the, when he's up in the Galil, the Yared La Amokim, and then he goes down into the valley, Aval Bisha Giyah Akayitz Ba'amokim, even though now it's the time for the summertime in the valley, Aser Ache Giyah Akayitz Begalil. He's still going to be Aser until the summertime of the Galil, which is again later. So when I made the nether, I made the nether in a place where the summer season starts later. So once again, even though I am right now, I am physically located in a place where the summer starts earlier, that is not relevant because my nether, I was accepted upon myself the nether at a time when the summer was going to start later. So the nether is chal until that later period. Similar to what we said before, the mountain and the valley, this is also the Galil and the Amokim are the same thing. Okay? Again, usually because it's warmer in the valley, things start a little bit earlier. Let's just read the Gemara. We might have to do this next time again, but we'll read the Gemara till we get to the bottom of the Yomid. Ad Gesham Achiya Geshamim Achatei Revia Shnia. So once again, the Mishnah said, when I say until the rain, it means the second rainfall or the second rainfall. Rishon Gamliel says no, it's the period of the raining, not the actual rainfall that we're waiting for. But we'll start with this statement. Amar Rav Zeira, so Rav Zeira says Machloikis, meaning the Machloikis between the Tanakam and Rishon Gamliel, the Amar Ad HaGeshamim. I said until the rains, which is the rainfall. That's where there's an argument about whether or not I meant literally the raining. Abel Omar ad hageshem, but if I say until rain, ad zman geshamim kamar, then I certainly mean until the time. And the Ran explains on the top of Samachim Lamed Aleph, the Ran already explains that it's because I didn't have to say geshamim. I added on by saying geshamim. The easier way to say it would have been geshem, so by the fact that I said geshamim, that implies that I meant something more. That I meant something more than just the rain season. I meant the rain itself. So that's why, at least that's the Shita of the Tanakhama, that's the Machlekes. But certainly, but everybody would agree that if I say Ara Geshem, that it means until rain, until Geshem, Geshem is the time, is referring to the time that it would normally rain. Everybody would agree that those are the set times. Okay, so we'll stop over here. One more point. The point is that the Ran says that when it says Ad HaGeshamim, it means until the beginning of the season, not the end of the season. Because it's Ein Zman Kavua, so a person, as we already learned in the previous mission, I just want to point this out because the Ran says it, that since the previous mission we learned, when you don't have a Zman Kavua, you don't want to get yourself confused with when exactly is this man, when is not this man. So even though the Ran earlier learned that it meant the duration of the period of time was not clear, the Ran does throw in over here, we see that it means also if I don't know when this man starts, that also means I don't want to get involved in the confusion. I only want to have my nether until it is the beginning of the period and not anything further. Okay, so we'll stop over here.